Welcome to another episode with the Ethics Reporter. In 1976, 2 years after Richard Nixon resigned in disgrace, the United States Department of Justice quietly created a new office. It did not have a fancy name. It was not announced at a press conference. It was tucked inside the criminal division, given to a small budget and staffed with career prosecutors who would never become household names. They call it the Public Integrity Section. Its job was simple: investigate and prosecute corruption inside the United States government, not corruption in some foreign country, not corruption at the state level, corruption inside our own federal government, members of the Congress taking bribes, judges on the take, cabinet officials lying to the public, senior White House officials abusing their power. For almost 50 years, that office did exactly what it was created to do. It prosecuted Democratic congressmen and Republican congressmen. It indicted senators of both parties. It investigated 4 presidential administrations on a partisan basis. It was, by any measure, one of the most successful anti-corruption institutions ever created inside a democratic government anywhere in the world. In the past 18 months, it has been functionally destroyed. Senior prosecutors have been forced out. Cases have been dropped without explanation. Leadership has been gutted, replaced, gutted again. A federal court order has been openly defied. The acting head of the section sat before the Congress in May and could not or would not tell members of the House Judiciary Committee how many active corruption investigations are still open. Senator Sheldon Whitehouse sent a 14-page demand letter in April asking for documents that have never been produced. The office created in direct response to Watergate, whose entire purpose was to ensure that what happened in Watergate could never happen again, is being dismantled section by section in real time on our watch. This is not partisan reporting. The senator demanding answer is a Democrat. One of the most demeaning ethics complaints was filed by a Republican former federal prosecutor. The lawyer being purged served under Trump and Biden. This is not about red and blue. This is about whether the United States government can investigate itself. This is the Ethics Reporter. Today, we walk you through the slow, deliberate dismantling of the Public Integrity Section and what it means for every American who still believes the law applies to the powerful. Before we begin, 2 things. This episode is reported entirely from public sources, Senate floor statements, congressional demand letters, filing by city members of Congress, reporting by ProPublica, the Brenner Center of Justice, Oregon Public Broadcasting, and other independent outlets. Court documents, Inspector General report, where I am quoting someone, I am quoting from the public record. Where I am drawing a conclusion, I will tell you. Secondly, the Ethics Reporter does not take advertisers, corporate sponsor, or money from political parties. We are funded by listeners, through donations, and the daily briefing subscription. This is on purpose. It is the only way to tell a story like this one without somebody being able to make a phone call to make it go away. If you want this reporting to continue, the link is in the description. If you can't donate, share the episode. The way these stories get killed is silence. The way they stay alive is you. To understand what was lost, you have to understand what it was. The Public Integrity Section, PIN, sits inside the Criminal Division at Main Justice, the building at 950 Pennsylvania Avenue in Washington, D.C. The section was created in 1976 in direct response to Watergate. The lesson of Watergate was not just that Nixon was a crook.
The lesson was that there was no permanent professional independent body inside the Justice Department whose specific job was to investigate corruption by senior government officials. Special prosecutors were appointed ad hoc. Attorney General served at the pleasure of the president. The career corruption fighting infrastructure simply did not exist.
So they built one. The staffed pin board with career prosecutors, not political appointees. They gave it jurisdiction over federal officials, federal judges, state and local officials when their conduct crossed federal lines, and election crimes. They gave it the resources to investigate cases that no individual U.S. attorney office wanted to touch because the targets were too powerful, the politics too radioactive, or the case crossed too many jurisdictions. For almost 50 years, it worked. Ping prosecuted Democratic Congressman William Jefferson. The Louisiana representative caught with $90,000 in cash in his freezer. It prosecuted Republican Senator Ted Stevens of Alaska for failing to disclose gifts. It prosecuted Democratic former Governor Rod for trying to sell Barack Obama's vacant Senate seat. It prosecuted Republican former House Speaker Dennis Hastert. It investigated Bill Clinton. It investigated Donald Trump in his first term. It investigated Joe Biden. It investigated federal judges and executive branch officials of every administration since Jimmy Carter. The office made mistakes. The Stevens prosecution was eventually thrown out because prosecutors had withheld exculpatory evidence. Several PIN lawyers were referred for discipline. This is how legitimate institutions function. They make mistakes and are held accountable, reformed and continue across 5 decades and 10 presidential administrations. The public integrity session did what no other office did consistently. It prosecuted the powerful across party lines under hostile attorney generals when no one wanted it to. Until now, starting in late January 2025 and continuing through spring 2026, PIN has been systematically dismantled. Here is what we know. Senior career prosecutors have been forced out, not fired, which would generate news, but reassigned, demoted, transferred to unrelated districts, given duties that have nothing to do with public corruption. The career chief, as of January 2025, is no longer the chief. Deputies have rotated through faster than any point in the Section 50-year history. Prosecutors who were once considered the gold standard for independence have been told in meetings whose content leaked in journalists that the section's old approach is no longer appropriate. Cases have been dropped without explanation. Several federal foreign influence cases that PIN had been pursuing had quietly disappeared from the public docket. Several congressional investigations were opened and closed without indictment in suspiciously short time frame. Congressional oversight had been openly defied. Senators' White House April 2026 demand letter, 14 pages, exhaustively sourced, asked for documents about the dismantling. The department has not produced them. Congresswoman Zoe Lockford and Congressman Jerry Nadler filed similar demand. Responses have been incomplete, evasive, or non-existent. An outside scrutiny is being formally blocked. Oregon Public Broadcasting reported in April 2026 that the Department of Justice is moving to change the rules governing who can investigate federal prosecutors for misconduct. Under the proposed changes, ethics complaints about DOJ lawyer would go to an internal office staffed by political appointees rather than to independent states bar disciplinary authorities. This is not inside baseball.
The public integrity section was the office supposed to investigate things like a cabinet member taking a bribe, a senator be paid by a foreign government, a president demanding payment in exchange for official acts. That office is now functionally unable to do its job. Let's start with Sword Blanche. Until January 2025, Blanche was a private criminal defense attorney, most publicly known as one of the lead defense lawyers for Donald Trump. In two federal criminal cases, the classified documents case in Florida and the January 6 election interference case in Washington. Both cases were active when Trump was elected president for the second time. In January 2025, Blanche was confirmed as Deputy Attorney General of the United States, the second highest ranking lawyer in the federal government. Within the Justice Department, the Deputy AG runs day-to-day operations of the entire department, including the Criminal Division, which contains the Public Integrity Section. In June 2025, in his first required ethics filing, Blanche disclosed personal holdings that include Bitcoin, Solana, Cardano, and Ethereum. He then stated he had, quote, gifted in their entirety to my grandchild and adult children the crypto positions in question. Pause on that. The Deputy Attorney General disclosed material cryptocurrencies holdings, then claimed he had given them all away to his own family members. This is not a sale. This is not divestiture. This into a blind trust. This is moving the same financial interest from one pocket inside the same household to another pocket inside the same household. Ethics rules require senior executive branch officials to either divest from financial holdings that create conflicts, meaning selling to an unrelated third party, or to rescue from any matter involving those holdings. Giving access to your adult children with no evidence of an irrevocable trust or genuine financial independence is not divestiture in any meaningful sense. The Department of Justice has significant policy responsibilities regarding cryptocurrency. It has been involved in major prosecutions of crypto exchange, working groups on crypto regulation, and direct enforcement of crypto-related fraud and money laundering. The Deputy Attorney General sits at the top of that enforcement apparatus. In June 2026, a detailed ethics complaint was filed against Blanche. Sourced to a former federal prosecutor and ethics professor who has filed similar complaints against officials in both parties. The complaint identifies specific DOJ actions taken during Blanche's tenure that allegedly benefited his crypto positions, enforcement priorities that allegedly shifted, and investigations allegedly slow-walked. It is not a vague accusation, it is a detailed legal pleading. The department's response has been that the gift to family deposition resolved any conflict. Career ethics lawyer inside the department, speaking anonymously to ProPublica, called the position, and I am quoting, indefensible. Here is the most damning piece. Under normal circumstances, the public integrity section will be investigating a complaint of this magnitude against a senior DOJ officer. That investigation would be conducted by an independent unit specifically created to handle conflicts at the very top of the department. That office no longer functions. The complaint sits somewhere on the seventh floor of Main Justice, and the man being investigated is the man who runs the building. The thing the public integrity section was built to do, investigate the boss, cannot be done, because the boss has dismantled the public integrity section. Now, I want to tell you about Emil Bov, because if Blanche is the story of how DOG leadership compromised itself, Bov is the story of how compromised leadership compromises everyone. Bov was a career federal prosecutor in the Southern District of New York, historically the most prestigious and most independent U.S. attorney's office in the country. He had also, in private practice, worked with Todd Blanche on Trump's criminal defense team. When the Trump administration took office in January 2025, Bov was elevated rapidly. He became acting deputy attorney general, then was nominated and confirmed to the United States Court of Appeals for the Third Circuit. He is now a federal judge for life. In between those positions, Emil Bov signed the memorandum directing Southern District of New York to dismiss the federal indictment of Eric Adams, the mayor of New York City. Here is what that case was. In September 2024, a federal grand jury returned a 5-count indictment against Adams. The charges include bribery, wire fraud, solicitation of a contribution from a foreign national, and conspiracy. The allegations involved a multi-year scheme in which Adams allegedly received airline upgrades, luxury hotel stays, and other benefits from Turkish nationals in exchange for official acts. The case had been investigated for years. The grand jury had heard from dozens of witnesses. It was one of the most thorough federal corruption investigations of a sitting big mayor in recent American history. In early 2025, the new DOG leadership directed Southern District New York to dismiss it. The directive was extraordinary. The prosecutors who had spent years building the case refused. The acting U.S. attorney for Southern District New York, Daniel Sisson, resigned rather than sign the dismissal motion. Several other career prosecutors resigned with her. The PRN prosecutors involved resigned. Federal Judge De Ho expressed open skepticism and held hearing on the dismissal's legitimacy. The dismissal motion was eventually filed, authored according to court records and Senator White House demand letter by Emil Bov. The legal theory offered the prosecution was interfering with the mayor's ability to address illegal immigration. The theory was not, by any normal application of federal criminal law, a legitimate basis to dismiss a federal corruption indictment. This is not me being dramatic. This is the position of Senator White House, a former United States attorney himself. It is the position in ethics complaints that filed by White House and Senator Richard Blumenthal against Bov personally. It is the consensus of every former federal prosecutor, Republican and Democrat, who has spoken on record about this case. The ethics complaints alleged that Bov used his official position to dismiss a federal indictment in exchange for political cooperation between Mayor Adams and Trump administration on immigration enforcement. A quid pro quo dropped case help us politically. Emil Bov is now a federal appellate judge, confirmed before any ethics complaints were resolved. He will sit for the rest of his life on a court that Hare's case involved the United States government as a party. But the most important point is this. The Adams dismissal was a signal. The signal to every career prosecutor who was that if you have a political inconvenient corruption case, leadership will dismiss it. Your work will be erased. If you refuse to sign the dismissal, you will be replaced by someone who will. The signal to every federal target was the political leverage can buy your way out. The signal to the rest of the world and multiple foreign policy analysts has made this point. Is the United States Department of Justice no longer reliably independent? In May 2025, Senator Whitehouse delivered a flawed speech on the public record. I will quote him directly. The Department of Justice was created with one inviolable principle, that prosecutorial decisions would be made on the merits, based on evidence, based on the law, based on whether a jury could be persuaded beyond a reasonable doubt that a crime had been committed. That principle had been broken, not by a single bad actor, but by a coordinated and deliberate dismantling of the institutional structures designed to protect it. The career attorneys of the Department of Justice know it, the federal judges know it, and the American people, if they are paying attention, deserve to know it. There is more. In Florida, the state bar has been petitioned to consider ethics complaints against former Attorney General Pam Bondi. The complaint, made by name former DOJ employees, supported by contemporaneous notes, corroborated by other officials, allege that Bondi pressured DOJ attorney to file briefs taking legal positions they believed were not supportable, to drop investigations, to open investigations, to leak information, and to retaliate against career officials who pushed back. Bondi has returned to Florida. The state bar has acknowledged receipt. No public action has been taken. The pattern across these three stories, Blanche's crypto conflict, Bob's role in the Adams dismissal, Bondi's pressure campaign, is the same pattern. Senior DOJ officials implicated in conduct that under any prior administration of either party would have generated a serious internal investigation by career officials at PRN. And those investigations are not happening because PRN has been hollowed out. But this is not just a personal problem. It is being made structural and permanent. The McDade Amendment, the rule that federal prosecutors are subject to the same ethics rules as any other lawyer in the state where they practice, is what makes outside accountability possible. If a federal prosecutor in Maine violates Maine professional conduct rules, the Maine bar can investigate, suspend, or disbar. That external check exists because federal prosecutors have enormous powers, and professional discipline is only meaningful outside constraint shots of impeachment. The proposed rule change reported by OPB would shift ethics complaints about the federal prosecutors from state bar authorities into an internal DOJ office staffed by political appointees, supervised by the Deputy Attorney General, the Deputy Attorney General currently being Todd Blanche, who has an unresolved ethics complaint sitting in his own building. The proposal is that ethics complaints about the people who decide whether to indict members of Congress, federal judges, and cabinet officials would be reviewed by an office that reports to the very official who himself is under complaint. And there is a third structural change which ties directly to our last episode. The One Big Beautiful Bill, signed July 4th, 2025, buried a provision stripped federal courts of the authority to hold the executive branch in contempt. As I reported then, it means a president who defies a court order cannot be legally compelled to comply. The implications run deeper than I described at the time. A federal corruption investigation against a senior executive branch officer proceeds through two pathways: a crime indictment handled by PIN, or a civil enforcement action enforced through federal court orders. The bill stripped court of contempt power, the personnel purges stripped PIN of functional capacity. The proposed rule change strips outside ethics oversight of federal prosecutors. The Adams dismissal pattern shows political inconvenient indictment will be killed. Each of these moves, in isolation, is a significant institutional event. Together in 18 months, they constitute a coordinated dismantling of the legal accountability infrastructure of the United States federal government. I am not telling you this to be alarmist. I am telling you because it is what the evidence shows. Reported by Brennan Center, ProPublica, OPB, NPR, The New York Times, The Wall Street Journal, and documented in formal letters from sitting senators of both parties, it is in the public record. I want to be honest with you. I am not a constitutional scholar. I am a working lawyer who started this podcast because I kept watching the same misconduct happen and watching it get covered up by the same institutional silence. So when I tell you what I think we can do, take it for what it is. First, pay attention. The dismantling of the public integrity section has gotten almost no mainstream coverage. There has been no front page investigation watched by millions. The story is being broken by the Brennan Center, ProPublica, OPB, and independent podcasts. The reason it has not become a major national story is not because it isn't one. Decide for yourself that this matter, then tell other people. Second, contact your representatives. Senator Sheldon Whitehouse, Senator Richard Blumenthal, Congresswoman Zoe Lofgren, Congressman Jerry Nadler, and others are doing real oversight and need political backing. Republicans of conscience are watching their inbox too. Staffers log every call regardless of where it comes from. Those logs determine where Senate office spend their political capital call. Third, if you're an attorney, act now. The McDade Amendment is still the law. The proposed rule change has not been finalized. State bar authorities still have jurisdiction to investigate federal prosecutors practicing in their states. File complaints. Document everything. Make a record. The window is closing. It has not closed yet. Fourth, support the federal courts. Federal judges still have life tenure and the institutional standing to publicly criticize misconduct. Judge Dale Ho did exactly that during the Adams hearing. Cases brought in federal court still produce findings and public records that resist the larger pattern. Bring the cases, force the documentation. Fifth, support independent reporting. The corporate press is not doing enough of this. The reasons are complicated, and we will do an episode on them.
The bottom line is that the model is broken and it is being supplemented by independent journalists and reporters willing to do the work. Pay for what you read, subscribe, tell people what you have learned, refuse to be someone who knew and did nothing. I started this episode by telling you about an office created in 1976 because the country had just lived through Watergate and decided collectively that it could never happen again. For 50 years, that office did the impossible job of investigating the most powerful person in the United States government on a basis with a track record any institution in the world would be proud of. It is being destroyed in front of us. Whether you call yourself a Republican, a Democrat, an Independent, or none of the above, the question of whether the United States government can investigate its own corruption is not a partisan question. It is the most basic question a democracy can ask of itself. And the answer right now on the record is that the institutional capacity to do so is being deliberately dismantled. There are people fighting back. Senator Sheldon Whitehouse, who has stood on the Senate floor and read names and dates and chapter and verse, Congresswoman Zoe Lofgren, Congressman Jerry Nadler, Senator Richard Blumenthal, career prosecutors at South District New York who resigned rather than sign their names to the Adams dismissal. The anonymous DOG employee who spoke to the ProPublica at significant personal risk. The team at the Brennan Center for Justice documented this in real time. The reporters at OPB, ProPublica, NPR, and a handful of other places who have refused to let the story die. They are why this episode exists. They are why you know what you know. What you do with it is up to you. This is the Ethics Reporter. I am your host. If this episode mattered to you, share it with someone who you want to hear it. This is how this story stays alive. Independently reported, no advertisers, no corporate sponsor, just the truth. See you next time.